Today, the church celebrates the birth of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is fairly well known in Christian circles, and we all have our images of John the Baptist. But John was given that special responsibility, that special mission, to announce the coming of Christ. And as the scripture tells us, his parents were Zechariah and Elizabeth. What we know about them is that they were faithful, but they always wanted a child. And at this point in their life, they were well past childbearing age. So that in the natural scheme of things, they were no longer able to have children. But God works in his mysterious ways, doesn't he? And so God intervened, and an angel announced to Zechariah that he and Elizabeth would have a son, and that their son would be the one to announce the coming of the Messiah to the people of Israel. And I don't know about where you grew up or where you were born, but in the place where I grew up, that would have caused quite a bit of gossip among the neighbors. Could you imagine at this age, Elizabeth and Zechariah having children? Could you imagine, instead of leaving that to the young people, whatever that might be, they are busy populating the world. Of course, we know from scripture that the reaction from family, friends, and neighbors perhaps was a bit of disbelief, as it's a natural thing. And as people heard about Elizabeth's pregnancy, they wondered about what was happening. But in the end, we know that they rejoiced with her because the Lord had shown his mercy on her. And I believe that the writer of the gospel used that word mercy appropriately, because in the eyes of many, it was showing mercy on someone who had a strong desire for that gift of a child. But if we were to look at the earlier part of the first chapter of Luke, immediately preceding the gospel reading for today, we recall that the angel Gabriel had revealed to Zechariah that God would bless them with a child. And because Zechariah had some doubts, God prevented him from speaking until the promise became a reality. And we are told that his son should be named John, as the angel had commanded. But I think that it's also fair to say that the couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth, exhibited confident faith, for they were devout, and they responded to God's call and glorified God through what is now known as Zechariah's song. And as Doug read the gospel this morning, you would recognize it as verses 68 to 79 of the gospel reading for today. Zechariah and Elizabeth trusted God. And although Zechariah had some initial doubts, they were faithful. And we too are called to be faithful no matter what we are going through in our lives. For just as God's will was eventually revealed to that couple, God's solutions to our problems could be mere moments away. And interestingly enough, many of God's solutions to our situations are right before us, aren't they? They're so obvious, but sometimes we do not see them. And sometimes they have to be communicated to us through others, what we would normally call a second opinion. And so, sometimes just in conversation with family, with friends about our situation, then God's solutions could be revealed to us. Yes, quite often His solutions are right before us. And although our concerns might reveal our human tendencies to worry, perhaps, they also reveal the power of God to deliver. For we are assured that God's power makes mountains into molehills. We must admit, however, that life's struggles and challenges are real and sometimes quite frightening. But just as God showed mercy on Zechariah and Elizabeth by blessing them with a son, God shows mercy on us according to His will. For we are assured that God's power to save is real. And like Zechariah and Elizabeth, we too must trust in the power of God to deliver. So, a bit about John the Baptist. Who was John the Baptist? This morning I wanted to share with you three aspects of the life of John the Baptist, which I hope will challenge us in our own Christian journey. First of all, I want to suggest today that John the Baptist was a bridge. I see John the Baptist as a bridge, considered generally to be the last of the Old Testament prophets, and one might argue the only New Testament prophet. But that's a discussion for another time. So his life and ministry serve as a bridge between the Old Testament and the time of Christ. And we too are called to be bridges of understanding as we share our faith. And one might suggest that in sharing our faith as the church and as the people of God, our job is threefold. First of all, to acknowledge that not everyone will be convinced about everything we believe. Not everyone will be convinced. And I'm sure that in your Christian journey, you've come across people who are quite firm in what they believe, and they promote it in such a way to suggest that everyone should believe the same thing. And some of them come to our doors as well, handing out different religious pieces, pamphlets, etc. So first of all, let us acknowledge that not everyone will be convinced about everything we believe, and certainly not in our own time. Secondly, I suggest that we should be non-judgmental in our interactions with others. Who are we to judge whether someone is living a Christian life? Who are we to make a case for what is, quote-unquote, the standard of behavior? Who are we to decide that because someone doesn't come to church every Sunday morning, that they're probably not as faithful as we are? Let us not be judgmental. And thirdly, we must be careful about telling people what they need to do to be a follower of Christ. And in other language that we might have heard, let us not try to tell people what they need to do to be saved. Of course, we agree on some fundamentals in the Christian faith, like baptism. We agree that scripture reading is very important for nurturing our spirit. We agree, of course, that participation in the Eucharist as part of the body of Christ, that's important. And of course, we agree that scripture reading keeps us, and prayer keep us connected to Christ. But so much depends on our own personal situation and our own Christian vocation. So let us be careful about telling people what's needed to be followers of Christ. Because we all have different needs and we are all in different relationships. We are all in a unique relationship with Christ. May I suggest, however, that through our own life and our own example, where we gently and lovingly introduce people to Jesus, that, my friends, I think is what is our role. Our own life and our own example. For we know that we are transformed only through God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let us continue to be faithful and not to be too hard on ourselves if we do not see immediate results. So first of all, I suggest that John is a bridge. Secondly, I'm suggesting that John presents a sense of urgency. And I believe that we must have a sense of urgency as well. In his preaching and exhortation, John created a sense of urgency to prepare for Christ now. Now is the day of salvation, not the past, not the future, but now. And there are many who would suggest that one of the habits in which we engage is a habit of procrastination, isn't it? Well, we all have these long lists of things to do. And sometimes we might postpone activities and tasks that are really critical. Procrastination. And so John is urging us to have a sense of urgency in everything that he has proclaimed. Prepare now for the coming of Christ. But thirdly, the life of John reminds us of the importance of preparation. Today's gospel reading reminds us of John's own preparation in the wilderness. And as the gospel reading ended, the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. He was preparing for the mission for which he was chosen, developing the spiritual discipline for his ministry. And we all have our wilderness experiences, don't we? Perhaps times of illness, perhaps times of loneliness, perhaps times of despair. And in our times of weakness, we depend a lot more on God's strength, don't we? Because wilderness experiences could make us stronger and better equipped. So then, the birth of John the Baptist, the commemoration is all about the celebration of discipline. Because the gospel reading assures us that God does what he says he would do. Secondly, he remembers those who have been faithful to him, like Zechariah and Elizabeth. And thirdly, the gospel reading reminds us that God's timetables and methods might be different from what we expect. And this is a very, very important lesson for each and every one of us, because you know we go to God in prayer. And we put our request before God. And guess what? We expect an immediate response, don't we? Because it's human nature. We want to see, we want to get a response one way or the other. However, we must be like Elizabeth and Zechariah, who were faithful and who waited on God to respond to their prayers. And we're reminded in today's scripture reading, in today's gospel, of what it means to be a disciple and how God chooses unlikely people to do his work. God chose two unlikely people to be the parents of his servant John the Baptist, And from Scripture, we see that God's work has been accomplished through so many people who were considered unsuitable. I can think of someone like Moses, and I know that there's so many other examples. Moses was hesitant, wasn't he? He said to God, "Don't choose me. I don't have the gift of speech and eloquence to motivate people." And God said, "You know what? I'll give you the words to say." And we know that each person is unique in the sight of God. Unique in the sight of God. We're all individually gifted. The parents of John the Baptist knew from before his birth that he would be set apart for a special ministry. But that is unusual, isn't it? And I'm sure that you'll agree with me that it is very tempting for parents to think of our children as extensions of our own lives. Don't we think that way? But each individual, including those in our care and in our sphere of influence, each individual has a unique mission to fulfill. John brought the message of salvation, and we too have the same privilege. So in closing, much of what we know about John's birth, his life, and his ministry is incredible, isn't it? Just imagine the circumstances around his birth. Just imagine his ministry, where he went around and tried to motivate people to prepare for the coming of Christ. Just imagine a humble servant, John the Baptist, being chosen to perform the baptism of the Son of God, God Himself. Unbelievable, isn't it? But what I also find really unbelievable is that God has chosen unworthy people like us, unworthy as we are, to be his disciples. And he has entrusted us with all of our inadequacies to spread his gospel to the world. So how are we doing? How are we doing? Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to be your bridge to those who are searching for you. And may we seek to serve you with humility, according to your will. Amen.